Live. Amen. Yes, sir.
I want to thank everyone who gave me their thoughts and prayers and cards and phone calls and all that. I really appreciate that. It did me so really very much.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Bob. Good to have you back and well and back with us. Amen. And we've been concerned about you. Keep on praying. Amen. We all need prayer and thank God for a church family. Amen. Amen. Psalm 81. And tell it to Jesus. Amen. Do the tears flow unbidden down your eyes, down your face? Tell it to Jesus. Amen. Is there things in your life that no one knows about, but God knows about them? Amen. And all you need to do is tell it to Jesus. And He's a friend. He's your friend. Amen. If y'all pray for Brother Anderson, his last brother-in-law, wasn't it, this week, passed away, and they buried him. Pray for Brother Anderson. He's buried a lot of people, and we're glad God just keeps him going, keeps him here with us. Amen. All right, Psalm 81, and if you can turn over a couple places to Psalm 84, I want you to see there also in Psalm 84. Psalm 84. If you're able to stand for Psalm 84, there's two verses we'll read. I'd like for you to stand with me. Psalm 84. Everybody got their Bible open? All right. 84 verse 10, the Bible says, notice this, for a day. Say that with me.
For a day.
All right. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And then notice this, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Amen.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And then notice this, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, I like that. Amen. I got that highlighted. If I could, I'd highlight it 4 or 5 more times. Amen. I like it. Amen. I like to stamp it on my forehead. I like that verse. Amen. Now listen, let's pray. Dear God, help us this morning. God, we need You, Lord, and we need You to be magnified and glorified. And God, there's folks here that need help from God, far more than what I could offer, what any man could offer, what any person could offer. We need help from God. And God, I pray You'd give us that help we need. Bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Psalm 81. Before we read this passage of Scripture, I want to tell you what I'm going to preach about. I'm going to preach this morning about the God of so much more. The God of so much more. And it's a new message. And about everything I preached just about is a new message. I keep all my old ones and I use them every once in a while when I'm preaching somewhere else. But when I'm preaching here, I like for God to give me something fresh for our church. And that's one thing that I've asked God to do as a pastor, that whether I'm here for 10 years, 100 years, and I don't mind preaching. If I'm here preaching when I'm 100, I'm looking forward to it. Amen. But whatever, I just ask God, just give me something for that service. God, give me something fresh. It'll be a help. And so this is just something God gave us here, and I want to preach it to you. And I pray you listen. Amen. Just listen. And I want to preach to you about the God of so much more. The God of so much more. In Psalm 81, the Bible says there in verse number 5, says, this He ordained in Joseph for a testimony. When he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. And verse 6 said, I removed his shoulder from the burden. No, notice he didn't remove the burden. He said he removed his shoulder from the burden. What does that mean? It meant that God left the burden and He just carried it for you. There's no one greater to carry your burden for you. I can't get rid of your burden. I can't remove. Anybody that says that they can take from you what ails you, they can't. It's impossible. No, there's no clinical technician or doctor or anybody that can take from you the burden that what has you weighed down. But there's a God in heaven that will remove your shoulder from the burden and He'll carry it with you. Amen? He'll help you to carry it. And listen, I'm going to tell you, if his shoulder is under the burden, you won't even know it's there. How many of you ever seen whenever you ask a child to help you to move something, and you pick it up in the middle, and you have them get on one end, and they think they're helping you, and you're carrying it all? Well, that's the way God is with us, with our burdens, if we'll let him. Or else we can toil beneath the load of our burden, and God says, I can help you with that. And God's help is so great that after a while we forget the burden's there. And the sad thing is we forget God's there. Amen. And then God has to let us have a little weight of the burden again to remind us of how much we need him. Now that's the cycle of life. And that's the circle of life. And I do believe you can get to the place where you acknowledge God every day. But most oftentimes God has to remind us, let a little weight of the burden fall on us so we remember how lowly we are without him.
Right.
How weak we are. Every man for a while is more immortal. After a while, mortality sets in, and he doesn't know what to do about it. But the key is why you think you're immortal, realize you're not, and trust in the one who is. Amen? And anyway, I got about a million sermons I'd like to preach to you this morning. That's just one of them. I'm going to get to the next one now. Amen? Psalm 81, verse number 6 said, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee. Now, I like that. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Listen, when you're in trouble, call on God. The devil says, oh, don't call. Don't wait. When you're in trouble, don't do it. Hey, God knows you're in trouble. Amen. You're born in trouble. Man's born with sorrows. Man's born with troubles. Amen. I don't know if you knew this or not, but when you was born, you couldn't do anything. Amen. I've seen babies in a bad shape before, and thank God for mama. Amen. There's sometimes that children can get themselves in such a way that it's above my pay grade. Amen. I might help, but I can't be the general foreman on some jobs. I mean, children can get themselves in a bad way. Thank God they have someone to help them. Well, what a shame for someone to neglect a child. Amen. And to not help them and give them the help they need. Little children, they need that help. A baby is helpless. And he says, thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. He said, I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. That word Selah means think about this. Amen. Think about it. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. If you hearken. That word hearken means to bend the ear. It means to listen. That's why, you ever hear me when I'm preaching? You ever hear me say, listen? How many of you ever heard me say that more than 50 times in a sermon? Why? You know why I say that? Because I want you to listen. That's why. I want you to listen. How many of you ever had children? You say, listen to me. You tell them something and they go and they do the complete opposite. I'm going to tell you, you got to get them. You got to look them right in the eyeball and you got to say, now, are you listening to me? And then you got to say it about 4 or 5 more times. Amen. And I'll tell you what to do afterwards if they don't do it. But listen, listen. He says, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee. And he said, hear, O my people. He said, if thou wilt hearken unto me, verse 9, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt represents bondage. I'm going to tell you, listen, what a shame it is to be in bondage. You say, preacher, I'm not in bondage to anything, but most generally I find the folks that think they're not in bondage, they are in bondage. Because people get in bondage to the things of the world and they get themselves in a place where they wish they could be free from this and they wish they could be free from their sin and free from their bondage and free from their affliction and free from the things of life. And I'm going to tell you that I have a God that can set you free. Amen. He can make you free. Boy, listen, hey, when the first time you're ever really free in life, you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, listen, if you ever get to the place where you're free, it's wonderful. I'm free this morning. I'm free of religious bondage. I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. There's not one thing that I think that I have to do to get to heaven. I think and I know and I'm glad that everything that needs to be done for me to get to heaven was already finished on the cross. When Jesus said, it is finished, that echoed down through the portals of time, and one day it landed deep down on the inside of me, and I can stand here this morning and rejoice in the fact that Jesus said, it's finished and my salvation is finished and I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm free from having to worry about what I can do to get to heaven. I'm free of that. I'm free of religious bondage this morning. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I'm absolutely perfect. Because my wife is right there. And if she wasn't there, I might try to tell you. But you could ask her and you could find out that I'm not. And there's other people here that know me. And they could tell you. And listen, and probably you already know it. I mean, listen. And unless you just walked in here and don't know any better and ain't been... You already know. Listen, hey, every one of us are flawed individuals. The only one that is sinless and whole and never sinned at one time is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you search long enough and you'll find fault in every one of us. We're faulty creatures, but I'm glad this morning that I have a God that gives me freedom from this old wretched world. I'm glad this morning that I have a God that said, greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I'm glad this morning that I'm free from the bondage of having to take and inject myself with some kind of a dope and course that through my veins, boys and girls. I'm free from the bondage. It says I got to get an alcohol, a bottle of booze and turn it up and booze myself out of my misery and booze myself out of my mind and try to forget about my problem. I'm free from the addiction of all that kind of stuff. Brother, listen, I could stand up here and shout hallelujah. I'm free from that kind of stuff. Thank God Jesus Christ set me free. He told that woman at the well, He said, go and sin no more. What was He saying? He said, you're free from that bondage that you've been living in. That poor woman had found herself in the depths of sin and wretchedness and living a wicked lifestyle and ashamed of herself and ashamed of her family was ashamed of her. But she met Jesus one day and Jesus set her free from that. And He said, go and sin no more. He said, you're not in bondage to that anymore. He said, you met the one that makes you free. Amen. Boy, I'm glad He set me free. Boy, listen, hey, I've never been necessarily a slave to anything, and I hate to pick on my brother. I love him. But listen, when I was little one time, I remember one day Mom and Dad had left and me and my buddy Curtis Sowers, and Curtis lived up the road from us, and one day Matt decided that he was going to rock us. I hate to tell on you. When you preach, you can tell on me. But listen, and he's going to throw rocks at us, and there was an old Honda sitting out in the middle of the field, and we wasn't going to get rocked. We weren't done. There wasn't nobody going to throw rocks at me. And listen, so we got in that car and we hid from brother all day long. We locked the doors up and he wasn't going to hurt us. He just needed somebody to tease. We lived on the farm. That's what you do when you live on a farm, is tease people. Amen. Hey, there's a lot worse thing could have been done. But boy, listen, I remember I was so glad when Mom and Dad come home because I knew I was free. That car was getting hot in it. Boy, listen, hey, I'm glad this morning that I'm free. Amen. Boy, listen, the devil doesn't have me pinned up. And I don't have to walk around saying, the devil made me do this. The devil made me do that. I don't have to go to people and say, I'm sorry. I did it again. I'm ashamed of myself. Hey, I just don't know what I was thinking. I'm free. Free from that this morning. Why? Because there's a God in me. The Spirit of God lives in me. And I'm free from that kind of stuff. Hey, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And I feel sorry. I'm not preaching down anybody. I'm not criticizing or condemning anybody. I'm telling you this morning, the reason why you're at church is because God wants you to be here to let the preacher say to you and you to hear from the Word of God that there's a God in heaven that's bigger than any problem you have, bigger than any temptation you face or any trial you face. And God can make you free from that. I'm otherwise a pretty normal, quiet person, but I'm going to tell you, hey, somebody's got to stand up every once in a while and preach a little bit and exert a little bit of energy and say to folks, you don't have to be downtrodden all the time. You don't have to be beat down all the time. You don't have to be depressed all the time. Why? It's not because of some psychological self-help program that somebody dreamt up somewhere. It's Jesus. Hey, the moment you yield yourself to Him and surrender to Him, you're free. It's not a 12-step program. It's one step. It's one step. I'm here walking in my... And I step over here and I say, God, guide me. God, help me. And God, lead my life. And brother, listen. Hey, it's instantaneously different. I mean, listen. Hey, it's altogether different once you let Him make you free. Amen. Anyway, back to the Bible. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God. He said, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I had talked to you about Egypt for a little bit. I'm glad I'm not in Egypt. Amen. I'm glad I'm not serving under the wicked taskmasters of the world. I'm glad I'm not serving under the ungodly heathen of the world. I'm glad I'm serving God. Amen. Boy, listen, boy, young people, hey, you mess around. Somebody comes along. I'm going to preach to you for a little while this morning. Amen. Listen, someone comes around and they offer you a hit of cocaine or heroin or some kind of methamphetamine. They say, hey, this will make you better. Brother, it'll wreck and ruin your life. Hey, it'll take your joy away from you. It'll put you in the very cesspool for this old world. But I'm going to stand up here as a preacher of righteousness and say there's something far better than to serve sin and the wickedness of sin. Right. You can serve Jesus. He puts a smile on your face. I don't smile a whole lot just to be smiling. I worry about a guy that smiles too much. Amen. One day I was in Bible college. This old boy come by and he said, "Are you saved?" I was in a hurry. I was trying to go somewhere. Man, I tell you, I ain't walking around with a big smile on my face all the time. Listen, I don't have to explain myself to everybody. Amen. And I was walking around. I was serious and going somewhere. And he said, "Are you saved?" Stop and said, "Are you saved?" And I know Brother Moses, he don't smile all the time. He'll smile when he talks about Jesus. But I was going, he said, "Are you saved?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Won't you let your face know about it?" I said, "Boy, you better keep on walking. I don't want to help you right now. But listen, I want to tell you, hey, I am saved. When I get to thinking about heaven, I get to thinking about Jesus, and I get to thinking about my loved ones that have died, and I'll see my friends, and I'll see them again someday. Brother, listen, joy fills my soul, amen. Hey, it puts a smile on my face.
Right.
You see, there's two worlds that you can live in. There's the world of sin and wickedness, and there's a world which God has for you. See, I know that's heaven, and someday I'll be there. I hate to tell you this, but you can have a little bit of it down here, amen.
Right.
You can have some joy down here.
Amen.
Hey, this Bible that's written for us that are down here says you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Or is that a song? I don't know which one is that. Yeah, and there is one that says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Jesus said, "I come to give you life and life more abundantly," he said.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, so I was talking to you about Egypt a minute. And notice the very next phrase after that colon there. "Open thy mouth wide. And I will fill it." What did he say? What did God say? He said, "Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it." I don't know about you, but brother, listen, sometimes I get hungry. Amen? You said, "Preacher, don't talk about food. Please don't." I'm going to talk about food for just a minute. Boy, listen, hey, and I get something good. Man, you don't have to tell me to open my mouth up. I open my mouth and eat it. Amen? I've seen little birds in the nest when their mama will come with that worm and them little birds just automatic, like they got a trigger, they open that mouth wide, mama will drop that worm in there, and mama says, "Open your mouth wide, little bird, and I'll fill it." And God says to Christian, "Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it." What did he say? "No good thing," in the first passage, "no good thing will I withhold from them that walketh uprightly." I'm going to preach to you this morning about that. As soon as I settle down, I'm going to preach to you about the God of so much more. All, listen to me this morning. What's it say? It says in verse 11, says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up into their own heart's lust." What did God say? God said, "I had so much more to give them, but they had things that they wanted apart from what I wanted to give them." God said, "I had so much more for them, but they had so much more of their own lust, their own things that they wanted more than what I had. And they had come to the conclusion that what they wanted would be better than what I had for them." And God said that His Spirit would not always strive with man. So God's not going to fight with me every day and try to say, "Here, you're going to have to take this. What you want, whether you want it or not, you're taking it." God doesn't do that way. But God says, if you open your mouth wide, I will fill it. Now listen. He said, "So I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Notice verse 13. It's God lamenting. "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." He said, "I should soon have subdued their enemies." How many of you got enemies this morning? You say, "Preacher, my enemy's myself. I'm my own worst enemy." God can help you with that. "Oh, that my people," he said, "I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rocks should I have satisfied thee." He's the God of so much more. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes about that. And the truth of the matter is, we'll probably get out of here a little bit early. Amen. If you consider 1 o'clock early. But listen, the God of so much more. The Bible says in one place how unsearchable are His ways. says in another place that His ways are past finding out. Boy, listen to me this morning. God has so much more. He has so much more than a life of sin, of shame, and sadness. I meet so many people in life, and I have the occasion to speak with so many people that their life has become a life of shame. Their life has become a life of sin. Sin dominates their life. And when sin dominates your life, shame will be part of your life. Even an animal has a conscience. And far greater is the conscience of a man. A lost man has a conscience. So that when he does wrong, he is ashamed of what he's done. And brother, listen, there's no joy in living in shame. Listen, there's no joy in living in sadness. Brother, listen, hey, there may be moments when sadness comes to you. And there will be. If you live a life a very long time, there'll be times of sadness. Hey, listen, there'll be times when sadness comes your way. Boys, I don't have to look up back and see what you're doing, do you? The way I won't look at you, if you look at me, all right? Look at me, amen? Yeah. Look at me, all right? Listen, hey, if you'll live a life of joy, hey, you don't have to be sad.
No.
Hey, you don't have to be miserable. This is not some self-help psychological jargon coming from some preacher up here. Right. Listen, hey, God has so much more than a life of sin and shame and sadness. But listen, the Bible says sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Brother, listen, you find the person that lives for sin. You find the person that lives for self-indulgence. You find the person that sits day after day and watches all the filth of the television and lives according to all the things of the world. Brother, that person will be filled with shame. That person will be filled with sadness. Why? Because they are living the life that they want to live. Hey, more than that, sadder than that, they're living the life the devil wants them to live.
That's right.
You see, the devil doesn't want you to do anything just as long as you don't ever experience what God wants to do for you.
Yeah.
You see, the devil's plan is to keep you from ever finding out what God has for you. And listen, hey, he works tirelessly. And that's why, excuse me for this, but that's why I exert a little bit of energy when I preach. Because I'm an advocate over here for the so much more side. Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, I'd be a hypocrite if I preached any other way than what I preach. I promise you. I have to calm down myself every once in a while. And I'm ashamed when I do. Amen. But listen, hey, I'm an advocate for the so much the more side.
Yeah.
Boy, listen, hey, if I find something that's good, I want to tell people about it. Amen? I'm not one that wants to keep it for myself. Boy, listen, if I find something that's good, I want to share it and let people know about it. And I have found this morning that there is something far better than anything the world has to say. That's to live for God. That's to walk in His footsteps. That's to live day after day and not to live in wickedness, not to live in sin. Hey, I've experienced enough living in sin to know that that life, and the life of shame and sadness, the life of driving home saying, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. God, I'm sorry that I've done it again. God, I'm sorry that I'm still living this way.
Right.
And God, help me. I'm ashamed of what I've done. And listen, that'll make you sad and ashamed and sorrowful. But boy, listen, it's so much better to live your life day after day with joy and rejoicing, knowing that you're not living according to your flesh, but you're living over here in the so much the more side.
Right.
So much better, amen?
Yeah.
I think I'll just fall all the way in, amen? So much the better.
Yeah.
So much more. Hey, there's so much more. Boy, listen, he has so much more than a life of sin and shame and sadness. Sin never satisfies. Anybody here could testify the fact that, listen, you can indulge in sin, and sin's fun for a little while. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but after a while, the pleasure wears out, and a person progresses and goes into something else, and then into something else. Why? Because it never satisfies.
Right.
But I promise you that Jesus Christ could satisfy you this morning. If you just, you say, but preacher, I tried. I'm not talking about trying it, amen?
Right.
I'm not talking about trying and giving God a token service. Say, I went to church once, nothing changed. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not you giving God a service. I'm talking about you giving God your life, amen?
Right.
You see, until you come to that place where you say, God, I'm not trusting myself. I'm accepting you. Once you give yourself to God, that's where God wants you. You see, on television, every once in a while, they have a program on there. They'll sell you something for $19.99. You ever notice is it 1998, 1997? Yeah, two of them for $19.99. You can get two of them. And then they have a trial period. If you don't like it, you can send it back after you've given them your credit card number. Amen. And listen, they got a trial period. Try it and see if you like it. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work that way with God.
No.
You see, you're not going to fool God. God doesn't come to you and say, try me. Because listen, God knows if you'll ever accept Him, you'll be satisfied.
Uh-huh.
So God doesn't need to offer people a trial period. Trial periods are of the devil. The devil wants you to give the essence and let people and give you the idea that you tried God for a little while. Nobody tries God for a little while. Amen. But listen, that's a false profession of faith. That's you just saying something that's not real. You accept Christ as your Savior and get saved and get born again. You'll never want to go back to that old filth and garbage.
That's right.
Never. You won't want to go back. Listen, God has so much more. He has so much more than self-promotion and selfish pride. I find so many times that in this world that folks live for themselves. They live for themselves. They live for promoting themselves. And, oh boy, listen, hey, we get to vote. How many of you are just thrilled to death about getting to vote? I mean, listen, you get to listen to the debates that are going on. You get to watch the candidates stand up there and swell, and they have to look presidential, and they have to speak to you, and they have to promote themselves, and they have to impress you and tell you how good they are, how much better they are. I can't stand that kind of stuff. Listen, old George Washington was off on his farm one day, and they begin to petition George Washington and said, please, Mr. Washington, we need you. He said, I don't want the job. Why was he a great president? Because he wasn't out promoting himself.
That's right.
Boy, listen, I get weary of that promotion, self-promotion stuff. Anytime somebody says, you can trust me, I run. Boy, listen, when someone says, trust me, I grab my billfold. Amen. That worries me. Listen. I think of the story when it's election time. This is not about that, but anyway, its story is pretty good. I think of the story election time of the little rabbit one day that was out hopping through the woods and gotten lost. All of a sudden, this really nice big bear come out with his stomach kind of grumbling, come out, and he sucked his stomach in and looked all nice and neat and proper to the little rabbit and said, Mr. Rabbit, what's wrong? He said, well, I'm hungry. He said, I'm a little afraid. He said, I'm running from a coyote that was chasing me. And the bear said, well, listen, hey, look, see my place? You see all the, there's a welcome here. Trust me. There's been others like you that have come this way. I know about that coyote. You can trust me. Come on in here. I'll keep you safe. That coyote won't come anywhere near me. Boy, the rabbit took one step, started to go in, and he looked and he asked the bear a question. He said, I have one question for you, Mr. Bear, before I come into your cave there. He said, why is it that all the tracks lead in, but the only ones leading out are yours? And the bear knew he'd been had, and the little rabbit took off. Amen. Boy, listen, that's the way the devil is.
Right.
Let a man take heed that thinketh he standeth lest he fall. Boy, listen, God has so much more. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about humbling yourself before God. You see, people get proud, and Christians get proud and haughty. And Christians think, and this is the danger of Christians, we get to thinking that we can do it on our own. We get to thinking that we can get by on our own. And brother, there ought to be, Christians need to realize that there are times we just need to put our face before God and get down before God and say, God, help me. I can't do it on my own. But listen, I've learned one thing. I'm in way over my head.
Yep.
You don't have to tell me I got too many kids. I know it. But you know what? Who gave them to me? God did. Amen.
Yeah.
So listen, humanly speaking, one's too many. Amen. But listen, any of you knows that. But listen, hey, if there's a God in heaven, that God has given me 6, going on 7 little young'uns, and that God knows how to help me to take care of them. And so what I'm going to do, and the day I'm old and gray, is I'm going to say, God, help me to raise them young'uns for you. God, help me to feed them. And man, they're learning to eat good. Amen. Listen, you spend half the time telling them to eat, and the rest of the time telling them to stop eating. Amen. You got to put a reserve on the milk jug and say, hold on a minute. Let's make that one last 24 hours. Amen. But listen, thank God there's a God in heaven that knows me, and all God's waiting on me to do is say, God, help me. Open my mouth wide and I'll fill it.
Yep.
You see, y'all worried so much because you so full of self sometimes, and you think it's all about, how am I going to fix this problem? How am I going to lift myself up with my bootstraps? You find one verse in here that says, lift yourself up by your own bootstraps.
You won't find it.
It ain't in there.
Yeah.
Because there's a God over here saying, I have so much more.
I have so much more than you taunting and flaunting your knowledge and your education world. And God looks at this whole world and says, I have so much more than your pride and your arrogance. He said, I have so much more than your attitude that says, let's take In God We Trust off our coins. And I have so much more than your secular mentality. God said, look back, America. Look back 100 years. Look back, America, 200 years, and see the blessings I placed upon your forefathers and see the joy they had. Yeah. Why? Because they came trusting in me.
Yeah, the old path.
Now we're leaning toward socialism. We're leaning toward communism. And the key tenets of those things are that we don't need God. We've become our own gods.
Right.
And I'm sad to say God has so much more for folks than to live in that proud, haughty attitude. Listen to me. God has so much more than strife and discord and fighting and slandering.
Yes,
say, preacher, how did you know I was going to be here? Well, guess what? I didn't. When I wrote that point down, I didn't know anybody would be here but me. So, baby, it's just for me. You see, I don't wait till you get here to write this stuff down. I pray God, I might see somebody come in here that I might add a point or two every once in a while. Harold Parker, I might add some for him back here. I know him. No, I'm teasing you, Harold. But listen, hey, understand this, though. Harold's my neighbor. That's why I can pick on him. Amen. Harold hears me preach all the time. Amen. But listen, so much the more than strife and discord and fighting and slandering. You know what most young people hear at home? Fighting. You know what most young people hear at home? How stupid mom is, how stupid dad is. And so it's no wonder boys and girls look at each other and call each other stupid. And when they come home from school, mom and dad tell them how stupid the teacher is. And so all they have is a bunch of fighting and a bunch of discord. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So who is? God said, let everything be done decently and in order.
Right.
I'm going to say this morning with the authority of the Word of God that God does not intend for homes to be places where there's fighting and feuding and yelling and screaming all the time. Hey, if there's any place where there ought to be some love, it ought to be at home.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I almost gave Brother Mullins a hug when I said that, but I stopped myself. Jessica, come here a minute.
What? Listen, this is my wife right here. I love her. I really do. I love you, Jess. Listen, I don't just love her in public,
but I love her when nobody's looking.
Man.
Why? Because God gave her to me, and my job is to love her.
Right.
Well, I fail at that sometimes, but listen, hey, I want my home to be the right kind of a home, and I'm saddened by the fact that there's so little love and so much discord and fighting that goes on in this whole world.
Right, Richard.
Why? Because Jesus Christ didn't come to cause that. He came to give peace. Boys and girls, your home didn't have to be that way. So that's the way it was in my home, and that's the way it's going to be when I grow up and get married. It didn't have to be that way.
No.
Well, listen, when Jesus gets in the picture, you can have homes where people say kind things to each other and where people are kind and forgiving and there's not fighting and feuding all the time.
Right.
Brother, turn the stinking television off every once in a while and get Jesus out. Amen.
Amen.
I love the story, and I don't ever plan to mention anybody, only when the Lord brings in my mind. But I remember the story of Brother Selby and Miss Sister Snip there one time. Their electricity went off. And she had certain programs that she watched religiously. One time, her cable had gone out, and Bob, y'all know that, y'all know all about that. And she'd go in there and watch her TV and those certain programs, and the cable had gone out, and the fella had worked and forgot to fix it. And so went over there and climbed to the house. Thankfully, it was something simple, and was able to rewire it. And she cried. She was so happy to have her program, watch her program. You know, she's excited. One day he called me and he said, our electric went out. And he said, guess what we did? And I said, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to hear it or not. And he said, no, he said, we didn't have any electricity. He said, you know what we did, preacher? He said, we just sat in here and sang songs. We just sat in here and sang to each other and talked about Jesus. He said, it's probably the greatest night we've had for a long time.
Amen.
You would have no idea. You're saved. why don't you go home and invite Jesus in that place?
Enjoy.
You talk about getting to heaven. How one beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. That's good for home now, amen. That's good for the place where you live. Say, but preacher, if you had kids, you... Oh, yeah, that's right. If I had a kid, if I had kids, I know it's not always that way. Hey, listen, ask my youngins. Amen. They got a video game. Ask them what's going to happen next time they fight over that game. Now, I ain't saying, Daddy. I said there's one person in my house allowed to lift their voice. That's me. Amen. Because if only one person does it, won't everybody be doing it all the time? Amen. And when that one person does it, they'll know to listen. Amen. I'm not a mamby-pamby, well, now, Junior, don't, but listen, hey, God gave me a voice. I know how to use it when I have to, amen?
Right.
But we ain't going to have everybody fighting and fussing all the time. Why? Because that's what the devil wants. You're only going to please one or two people in this world, either God or the devil. Well, I don't want to have the devil sitting around saying, I like it here. Boy, listen, this is a whole lot better than hell. I think I'll just hang out here in these people's house. I don't want my home to be that way. Don't have to be that way. Because God stands over here and He says, hey, He said, I sowed something so much better than fighting. God pity a man that would whip a woman, hit a woman.
Right.
So much better than that kind of stuff. Hey, so much better than that kind of feel. So much better than what HBO has. God said, I got something so much better.
Yeah.
So much better than Cinemax or any of the rest of that filth in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I got something so much better. God says, won't you come over and see?
Yeah.
Don't come over to try it. I ain't. You gonna play a game? You come over and stay.
Yeah, can't.
Come over and stay with Him. Amen. Listen, something so much better than strife and discord and fighting and slandering. I tell the teenagers that come here, and I'm proud of them. They're good kids. I really believe they are. I don't know what goes on at school, but I tell them when I have opportunity to talk to them. Listen, we don't have cliques upstairs. We don't have cliques downstairs.
Yeah.
We're not going to have this group over here talking about this group over here. We're not going to have names. We're not going to have that garbage is out of hell, and I hate it. I don't want any part of it. Why? Because we're Christians, and we're going to talk right and be nice to each other.
Amen.
Amen. I'm 100% for that.
Yeah.
Say, preacher, what do you think? We ought to take a vote and see if we are. I hope you are. Amen. Because that's where God is. Amen. That's the side He's on.
Amen.
Boy, listen, there ought to be joy. Ought to be happiness. If that don't work, look, I paid Jessica to come to church and smile. That's why she acts happy. Ask her. She'll tell you she's happy. I pay her to say she is. $20 a service. Did y'all see where that lady for 2 years paid someone to come sit in church as a set-in for her? Her husband was a pastor down south. And she, now listen, you talk about a sat home. I'm not just putting it all on her. Who knows what the home life was like, whatever's going on. But she paid somebody to come sit and serve us so she could go out and do whatever. She just couldn't stand being there. And she paid someone that looked like her to come sit in her place. Now, can you imagine that? That's what's going on in some churches, man. That's a shame, I tell you. Is that really you? Chuck, that ain't a double, is it? Okay. I was hoping it wasn't two of you. Listen this morning. God's good. God says, I got something so much better than all that. There's something so much better, listen, than mere existing and abiding time until you die. You see, I see so many people that just exist. And they go from this to that, try to find something that makes them happy, and they're just biding time. But I've seen some people here in this church that have gone on home to heaven. And I've seen that they weren't those that just bid their time. I've seen that they wanted to serve God. And I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing greater than a Christian that wants to serve God. You see, there's joy in being saved.
Amen.
But there's so much more joy when as a saved person, and you say, well, God, I'm saved. I'm here. But God says, guess what, saved person? I still got more for you. You see, if you'll just come on over a little further, come on over.
I got so much more.
If you'll just live for me and serve me and trust me, I got so much more.
Amen.
You see, the closer you get to God, you'll find that God just got more and more. You say, I don't want to serve God because He'd take everything from me. Man, I can't imagine what God could give me any better than whatever I might have ever given up. I'm having fun this morning. I don't know if you are, but I'm having a good time of my life, man. I like it. I enjoy it before the service. I like shaking your hand. I really do. Believe it or not, I really like seeing you in church. Amen. That's pretty good for the preacher to say that. Amen. I'm glad to see God's people. Amen. I'm glad you're here.
Amen.
Listen to me this morning. God has so much more than strife and discord and fighting and slandering. You don't have to live that way. He has so much more than just existing and abiding the time and waiting until you die. He has so much more than that. I'm going to tell you last of all, and I'm finished. Listen very carefully. God has so much more than hell and eternal fires. You see, the Bible says there's a man that in the book of Luke said he fared sumptuously every day. This man had everything. He had the best that any man could ever have. Palaces and wealth and the finest of foods. And the Bible says that there was a certain beggar that laid at his gates every day and would beg for food that fell from that rich man's table. The difference is that somewhere along the way that beggar heard that God had something so much better for him. Now, in spite of what that... This is where I'm different than that television evangelist that preaches something similar to this. You see, because in this fellow's lifetime, he never changed from the outside of the temple, the palace, to the inside. You see, he died a beggar. You say, oh, but preacher, please tell me that God's going to give me $1 million if I... No, I ain't going to tell you that. You see, that poor beggar, he may have... Now, God fed him. And he lived that life. I think he was happy. But see, one day something wonderful happened in his life. He died. How many of you remember Brother Larry? Brother Larry, his life was ruined down here. You had to be a special person to put up with Larry. And Larry was hard to put up with. And I wouldn't ask most people to. Because Larry would try to manipulate sometimes. And he could be annoying. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Y'all can say it about me when I'm dead. Amen. They say you attract what you are, not what you want. I hope that ain't true. Amen. But listen, Larry had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. A lot of problems. Sometimes Larry would call me. If I wouldn't call him right back, he'd call me 15 times. And I want to go kill him. I loved him, but sometimes I wanted to murder him. But listen, before I forget why I started telling you about Larry. Larry lived in the shelter. Brother Mullins was there, and Brother Mullins helped him, and he lived there for a while. And then they got him an apartment at Lippert Terrace, and he messed that up. Got him another place, he messed that up. Finally, God in His goodness and blessing, God gave him an apartment down in St. Albans. Got him away from some things. And I'm going to tell you what, you could walk in Larry's apartment, you'd be surprised to find that it was always clean. Always neat. If he'd get a hole in the wall, he'd ask me, preacher, you got any paint? I'm afraid the landlord's going to see this hole in the wall. He wouldn't take care of his place. But Larry was very sick, and he told me. He said, I pray. He said, when I wake up, he said, I'm sad. He said, I cry every day. Why was he sad and why did he cry every day, boys and girls? Because he was about 40 years old. And he'd started on dope and drugs when he was 8 years old. He had a body of an 80 or 90 year old. Not that there's anything wrong with being 80 or 90. Except if you were 80 or 90, you could tell me there's a lot wrong with it. Amen. But he had a body that was worn out and his insides were rotten out and his health was bad and his bowels didn't work right and nothing worked right. Everything was patched together and Larry was in constant pain and misery. He said, I cry every day. Sometimes I'd call Larry and he'd be crying. The only joy he had was when he come to church and sit back there. Larry fumbled from place to place. And he told me, he said, I pray every day, every night before I go to sleep, I pray God will take me to heaven when I die. He said, when I wake up and I'm still here, I'm disappointed. Now, some of you may not understand that. But when this old flesh becomes decayed and rotten like that, I don't think anybody wants to live that kind of a life. My prayer is, God, when you just take me home. I like to be able to preach one day and walk out and boom. I hope I make it to you all leave. I hate to sit die while I'm shaking your hand. But when everybody leaves, the last one, I just fall over. That's it. I'm going on to heaven. But listen to me. There's something so much better than dying and going to hell. There's a place called heaven. There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Our Father waits just over the way. He's going to prepare us a place there. It's a place where there's no weeping and there's no crying and there's no goodbyes. I don't like goodbyes. There's no report of cancer. There's no calls that say it's a heart attack and then calls 3 hours later that say he's gone. There's no ICUs. There's no echocardiograms. There's no heart catheterizations. There's no arthritis. There's none of that stuff. None of that. None of it. There's no need there for morphine. There's no need there for IV tubes. There's no need for feeding tubes, for portals. There's no need for any of those things. There'll be no nursing homes there. Amen. There'll be no need for assisted living there. There'll be none of that stuff. There'll be no dementia there. There'll be no Alzheimer's there. There'll be no AIDS there. Amen. There'll be none of that. It'll all be gone. I'm going to tell you, you know someone that's died and you may miss them and you may be sad. I'm going to tell you, if they could come back and for a moment, if they could stay anything, they would say, listen to me, it is so much better here where God is than what it was down there. And they'd say, I ain't coming back to stay. I just come to say hello. I'm going back. Amen. Why? Because God says, I got something so much better. So much more than what you could ever imagine. He said, call on me. And he said, I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things thou knowest not. He said, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So much more. He's the God of so much more. I've about forgotten. I ain't listened to what the devil's got for a long, long time. But whatever the devil's got, whatever carrot he's holding out in front of you, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Don't listen, boys and girls and church folk, all of you together alike, we're all the same. Amen. Don't fall for the devil's carrot. One old preacher said, all Satan's apples have worms.
That's right.
All the devil's apples have worms. You'll never have any more joy than when you go to that place of sweet surrender, where you sing that song, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter and I'm the clay. Mold me and make me. Lord, have thine own way. Won't you close your eyes, men, and bow your head? Man, I tell you, I say it with all honesty and sincerity.
He's the God of so much more. I look in the mirror and I see myself and I say to myself, self, you just trust God day by day and you ain't seen nothing yet. God's got so much more He wants to do in your life. So much more He wants to do if you just trust me. And I look back in the mirror and I say, self, I don't think you got to worry about it. But just in case it needs to be said again, self, I want whatever God has for me. You need to look in the mirror and say, self, we're going to trust God. There's so much more. God has so much more. He has so much more than for you to live this life and die and go to hell and burn.